to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
A few weeks ago, as we turned the corner and headed into Lent, we started this series talking about the seven statements that Jesus makes from the cross. The Gospels record seven different things that Jesus said as he hung from the cross. We're going to cover six of those in the six Sundays of Lent, and then the seventh thing that he says we're going to talk about at our Good Friday service. Put pause on that and just let you know that over the course of Holy Week, we're actually starting in the Thursday before, on that March 21st day where we're having the Christ in the Passover presentation. I want to encourage you to be part of that. We do have a sign-up out in the lobby so we can kind of plan for how many people are planning to come. If you don't have a chance to sign up, we don't want you to feel like you can't come, but we're just trying to feel how many people are going to be involved in that. But that's on the Thursday before Holy Week. Something that's very connected to the church, Holy Week, and something that's outside of the church, spring break, kind of got mushed under the same week. And that's unfortunate, but that's what it is. And so we're going to have Holy Week start a little early on that Thursday, and then we're going to have a celebration, an experience on Wednesday called the Stations of the Cross. And that'll be open Wednesday, and then we'll have Good Friday service and then Easter Sunday celebration services as well. So just kind of put that in the back of your mind. The last full week of March is Holy Week, leading to Easter on March 31st this year. So as I've been away these last 2 weeks, we had Pastor Debbie take a week where she talked to us about one of the statements, and last week Chaplain Lockhart was able to share with us. And it's also really good and really healthy, I think, for you guys to hear from other folks besides me. And that's something that I think is incredibly valuable for you. And every week that I miss, I get to listen in and watch online, and I had the chance to do that. Sometimes you go away on vacation, and it's more work to go on vacation than it is to not go on vacation. But vacation is still worth it. It really is. So make sure you take those times away. During this time, as we turn back again to this moment of crucifixion, it's been a powerful thing, at least in preparing for these messages and thinking about this series as we've gone through. Today we're turning again to Luke chapter 23, so I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them to Luke chapter 23. We've already covered two of the statements from Luke, and this is the third and final from Luke that we'll be covering today. And I don't know why we got Luke out of the way so quick, but that's just the way it worked out, and so that's what we're going to do. But today, reading from Luke 23, I'll be starting in verse 39 and reading through verse 43. For those who are willing and able, I ask that you would stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word this morning. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, starting in verse 39. One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him. "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Verse 43, Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God given to us, people of God. We say, thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we continue through this series of statements from Jesus while he hung on the cross, I was reminded this week how critical and how central it is, this message of the cross. That our understanding of faith, that our understanding of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us is completely, essentially tied to the work that Christ did on the cross, this moment that we return to. I really can't overstate it. I can't exaggerate it too much, I don't think. That for all of humanity, according to those of us who follow Christ and who would walk with Christ in our lives, in that regard, it really is good for us to return to this moment, to spend some time in this moment, facing the reality, the difficult reality of looking up at the cross and seeing our Savior there, observing it from different angles and seeing it from different sides and responding to it for several weeks. This piece of the story that we're looking at today is fascinating on so many levels. It really is. If you've grown up in the church, if you're familiar with the story, even those who are not associated with church and have the rhythms of worship, they're probably familiar with the blocking of Calvary, with how it was laid out. If you put three crosses up anywhere, people pretty much know what you're talking about, right? I mean, one cross is a very distinguishable symbol. And yet, three crosses, when you see them together, okay, they're talking about Calvary. They're talking about Golgotha. They're talking about the place of the skull. They don't know, they may not know these designations, but they know the blocking of Calvary. Three crosses, and Jesus hung on the center cross. And as Jesus hung there, there were two more crosses, and on those crosses were two other men, two other criminals who had been condemned to die in the same manner that Christ had been, in between two thieves or two criminals and two folks that were likely, according to the laws of the country at the time, worthy of this punishment. As we look at this message from Christ on the cross, there is a bit of discontinuity in the Gospels regarding this moment and regarding these two people that surrounded Jesus as he was crucified. If you look across the Gospels, what is said about these criminals varies a little bit from Gospel to Gospel. Matthew and Mark both mention the criminals that were hanging on the cross. They also give them actions. They say that they were insulting Jesus and throwing insults Jesus' direction. But it's kind of only in one passing verse for all the Gospels except for Luke. In Luke, there's a different story told. And that's the one that we read today. It's a story that's filled with promise and potential, the story that really blows your mind when you think about it. At least blows my mind as I think about it. While the other Gospels miss it, in Luke, there's one of the others, one of these criminals, one of the people who was crucified with Jesus that really lashes out at Jesus. I mean, that's what the other Gospels say that both of the criminals did. But in Luke, it's only one of these criminals. And the other one, actually, the one who throws insults, like, is, I don't know if he's like, this is his last ditch effort at the commutation of the sentence, right? Like, I'm going to insult Jesus and then dare him to get off the cross. Oh, and bring me with you, by the way. Like, save yourself and us. That would be cool. This humble suggestion that he bring the two of them with him, right? Just save yourself, please, and you could bring us too. This criminal reminds me of the scripture that Tom read to us from Ephesians 2. In the letter to Ephesus, Paul's reminding the people that had begun to worship in that place, this is the way you used to live. This is how you used to live. You used to live like people of the world, full of disobedience. On a life that is headed toward destruction. People who do whatever feels good in the moment, whatever you wanted, that's the path that led these criminals to this moment. The funny thing is, the second criminal in the Gospel of Luke, the second criminal knows it. Second criminal owns it and says, I understand. Except criminal doesn't make a plea, doesn't say, yeah, get us down, wouldn't that be cool? We can all go hang out together. The three amigos that escaped the crosses at Calvary. When the second criminal talks, he doesn't try to make distinction. He doesn't say, yeah, like get us down. We've tried to live good lives. We made some mistakes, but we don't deserve this. No distinction is made to correct what the sentence had been. The second criminal doesn't talk about relief of pain. The second criminal doesn't say, we deserve a second chance. The second criminal doesn't say, I'd be on board with that. Set us free, Jesus. In his statement, he offers no means of separation between him and the other criminal, instead owning his mistakes, instead owning, saying, this is what was meant for us and that we deserve to be there. We are rightly condemned, receiving the appropriate sentence for the actions of our lives. He had lived by the world's standards. He had followed his own path to destruction. He had lived in disobedience and understood that. And yet, at the end, after rebuking this other criminal that had said, hey, let's go, let's bust out of this joint and let's go hang out together. After rebuking that first criminal, turns to Jesus and says, remember me. Remember me. Wherever you're going, whatever your destination is, as you come into that place, remember me in that moment. The story of this criminal is amazing. Just downright amazing. There's a Scottish pastor that pastors a church in Cleveland by the name of Alistair Begg. And he tells this story so well. I may even, we're broadcasting to Facebook Live right now. In the comments, I may have to post this video because the way that he talks about it is just so amazing. But he says, can you imagine the story of this guy? When I get to heaven, I want to go find this guy. He's got this Scottish accent that's just so great as he's telling the story. I want to go find this guy. Tell me about that day. Tell me about that day. This criminal just blows up our system of understanding what it takes to receive the gift that Jesus has promised. He's crucified with Jesus, and he goes up to heaven, and the angel's standing there at the gate, and he's like, who are you? Like, what are you doing here? And the criminal's like, I don't know. Well, you know, I don't have record that you went to church. I don't, you know, you haven't prayed much in your life, maybe ever. What's going on? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here. Well, this starts with the basics. Like, what's your testimony? What have you done? Deer in the headlight look, right, from the criminal. Like, I don't know. Well, let's start with the basics then. You know, give to us your understanding of what it means to be saved by grace through faith. Tom read it in the scripture that he read. Because I don't understand a word you just said. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Where did you go to church? When were you baptized? Did you help some poor folks out? Did you love some orphans? Did you shelter any homeless? Like, where's the evidence of what your faith did for you? He's like, I never did any of those things. And the angel posted at the entrance to heaven says, on what basis are you here? And it's Beg who imagines a criminal who says, the guy on the middle cross said I could come. That's all he knows. That's all he knows. The guy on the center cross said I was invited here to this place. That I could come. It's in this moment that we understand. It's through this picture that we understand it's not what we do, but what Christ does for us in this life. Sometimes we miss it so much. Sometimes it's so easy to get off track. What's our basis for receiving the reward, to receive this gift that Christ offers to us on the cross? So often there's an answer that we give that includes the word I believed, or I prayed, or I asked Jesus into my heart, or I. A criminal on the cross teaches us that the only answer that we can give, the only answer that makes any sense, the only answer that measures up is the man on the middle cross said I could come. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus as the one who extends that invitation. There's nothing this man has done in his life to deserve this reward. And the reality of the situation is that there's nothing we could do either. The reality of the situation is there is nothing that we can do either. For it's a gift that's received. It is a gift that's received. And the statement of Jesus to you and to me and to any who would turn to him, even in those final moments of life. I've heard people talk about what the body goes through during crucifixion. How the arms are pulled apart and separated, and it becomes more and more difficult to breathe as you hang on the cross, and the weight of your own body pulling against your ability to draw in breaths. And hear this criminal who pushes up on the nail in his feet to catch a breath, to say to the other criminal, knock it off. Knock it off, knucklehead. That's probably the tame version. We're getting what we deserve. We're getting what we deserve. And turning to Jesus and say, remember me. In one of those final breaths of his life, remember me. When you go into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus saying, today, you will receive the reward. Not because of anything that you've done, but because in that moment, he received with sincerity, with all of his heart and all of his being, understanding that there had to be repentance there. He didn't pray the sinner's prayer. He didn't have an altar to come to. He didn't, you know, do you believe that Christ is dying for your sins? All the things, all the markers that we put up to say, is this real? And have you crossed this threshold? Have you received the gift that Christ has for you? And the criminal says, there's no formula. That the simple request that Christ would remember him on that day and the sincerity of his heart was enough to receive that gift for this man. I was pondering this week as I prepared today kind of our theme, waiting in Christ. The temptation there as we read about waiting in Christ is to be in neutral, to say, well, okay, yeah, okay, preacher, I'll wait for Christ. Go ahead, God, do your thing. Do your thing. I'll be here. I'll be right here waiting for you to act and to move and to get things done. That's not the picture that we receive in Luke chapter 2. I had Simeon and Anna put up there because I think there's just such great examples of folks who were waiting for Christ to move, but in that moment, continuing to worship and continuing the rhythms of faith. Sometimes we get stuck in that mode of waiting for God. Well, God, show up. God, do something. God, I need you to act. God, it's kind of on you. But as we move through this year, my hope and my encouragement for you is that waiting in Christ is to live a little bit differently even than that thief who hung on the cross. This criminal who, and you'll remember, three out of the four Gospels that we have in the Bible mention him in passing. Two of the three of them testify that both criminals just hurled insults at Jesus. I'm so thankful for Luke that talks about this moment. This moment where the criminal who had hurled insults was rebuked by the other. That in his final moments of his life, with one of his final breaths, and perhaps the last thing that he said in his life, was able to extend out to Christ and say, remember me. This is the right place, the right time to be crucified. Now, that's a statement that you don't hear often, right? But he was in the right place at the right time during his crucifixion. What a day to be crucified right next to Jesus. But the message for us is, what an amazing picture of the grace of God. That even in that moment, God's grace was extended to a person who had lived, apparently, a pretty rotten life. With incredible implications for those dying moments and the incredible ease of knowing Christ and finding salvation. And the wide, expansive, whole ocean of grace that God has for us, his children, his daughters and sons. But I'll tell you, I don't want that. I'll tell you, I don't want that. I don't want to wait till the 11th hour. I don't want to wait till the 11th hour. And the 59th minute. I don't want to spend one of my last breaths gasping for air, saying, Christ, remember me. I want to walk with him today. I want to walk with him today. I want to walk with him now, right now, to live an authentic life. Following after him my whole life, every day and every breath I'm given. Walk with me now, Jesus. Shape me now. Transform my life today. Make me new. Invite me into this new creation that you are forming in the world. Help me be part of that. That's waiting in Christ. That's waiting in Christ. Live today in the full knowledge that Christ extends that same grace and that same gift to us even now that was extended to the criminal on that cross. For you and I can walk beside him each day, ready to move where God is moving and serve where we're called. That's what it means to walk with Christ. But also knowing that on the day when our lives on earth here will end, that there's only one answer to the question, on what basis are you here as we go to receive that reward? How did you make it? Can we have the wisdom to answer with the same line that perhaps the criminal said? The guy on the center cross said I could come. That's how I want to live my life. Amen? Amen. As we close out our service today, we're gonna sing a song, and we're actually have the chance to receive a communion this morning. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come, and those that are prepared to serve, come and be prepared. I'm convinced today that someone needed to hear that truth today, the reality that there's nothing we can do, that it's all on the basis of the one who hung on the center cross that invites us into that moment and extends that grace to us today. By simply offering ourselves to Christ and asking Christ to remember us, to be with us, to being committed to waiting in Christ, that we hear the promise that Christ uttered from the cross. First to a criminal facing capital punishment, but secondly to us, to me, and to you. You, my son, you, my daughter, today, tomorrow, for the rest of your lives, you will live with me in paradise. For though we don't believe the kingdom of heaven waits for that moment in which we enter into another place, but we believe that the kingdom of God can start now, today, in our lives. Because the kingdom of God is in us, and we get to share that with those around us. That's good news. Praise the Lord. Today, if you haven't made that choice to accept that gift, to receive the invitation, the celebration that we're about to participate in called communion is an incredible way to do just that. You see, in this ceremony, you'll receive bread and juice, these elements. We're imparting them into our persons. We're consuming them today into ourselves. And they are remembrances of the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying in essence, be part of me. Come into my life. Come and fill me and sustain me in this life that I lead. As best I can, I want to be part of you. I want to wait in you. In my life. And the invitation as you receive communion today, may it be a reminder of this connection that we have with Christ, as simple and as powerful as the connection that was made between the criminal who hung on the cross and Christ, who said, today you'll be with me in paradise. In the Church of the Nazarene, we serve what's called open communion, meaning if you have a relationship with Christ, if you desire that connection with Christ today, you are welcome to come forward, to come to one of our stations and receive communion. How we'll do it is we have a station that will be set up in the back and then two in the front, and we just invite you to make your way towards one of those stations. If you'd like to receive a small piece of bread, just extend your hands and one will be placed and you can dip it in the juice. If you prefer, we have a bowl of prepackaged elements. You can take those back to your seat and consume them there. On the night that Jesus was betrayed and celebrated his final Passover, he met with his disciples in what would come to be known as the upper room. During that meal, a very scripted meal that and the feast of Passover that is celebrated, Jesus kind of mixed things up. During that meal, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you share this meal, do so and remember me." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to each of them, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for many. As often as you do this, do so and remember me." Today, we continue in that tradition with thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of Christians, Christ followers around the globe today. We participate with them. Let me pray for us, and then we'll receive communion. Heavenly Father, today we offer our lives to you in the understanding that you have a grace for us that is nearly incomprehensible. As we take a look at this gentleman who, in his final moments, reached out to you in desperation, saying, I don't know anything. I haven't followed you at all. I've lived a life that is worthy of this punishment that I'm receiving right now. But today, God, would you just remember me? That's all he said. And you, God, said, "I will remember you, and we will be together this day." Lord, today we are reminded again of your love for us and your grace that fills our hearts and fills our lives. And today, as we come to receive these elements, simple elements that remind us of an incredible truth, that you, God, made the first step towards us. As we come and as we receive, God, may you remind us of the invitation that you extend to live as you would have us live. We love you. Thank you for all that you have done for us in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church, the Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us, and have a great week.